time, Kirk, I'm going to read something from the Jesus book. And I want you to tell me what the Jesus book is talking about. The boss above, he take care of me. Do you like the sheep, Pharma? Take care of his sheeps. He go and give me everything I need. He let me lie down where the sweet and soft grass stay. He lead me by the water where I can rest. He give me new kind of life. He lead me in the road that stay right. 'Cause I his guy. Quote unquote. That's from the Jesus book.
Well, I hadn't read that version, but it sounds familiar. Believe it or not.
That is the Jesus book on the 23rd Psalm.
Wow. You have been really over-researching this weekend, haven't you?
Oh, no. I haven't. It was sent to me by Richard over the weekend.
Yes, you everything you need to know about Richard, don't it?
Oh,
don't
man.
Break off, Richard.
Yeah, Richard was he sent it to me with a sense of a grave annoyance. And, you know, Richard, like the rest of us, is annoyed by religious buffoonery. And so I said, well, Richard's this annoyed. I better read it. I did. Wow. Yeah, but, you know, they got two words. They spelled two names correctly, at least from the religious perspective. They're the two that are incorrect. They spelled Jesus as G-E-S-U-S, and they spelled Bible as B-I-B-L-E, and they capitalized both of them. So while it was duh rather than the, and while it was a pigeon, not named after the bird, but misspelled, and it was the boss above, and the grammar is not correct, and he take care of me, and ja-like, instead of just like, ja-like, the sheep fama, not farmer. Fama.
Take care of his, you know, in the south.
Of his sheeps, as if they do not know that sheep is a is like seed. It has a plural connotation. They got their God's name spelled right, Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
And they got their God's book spelled right, Bible.
Bible. It did indeed.
Can't be corrupting the corruptions after all.
No.
Wow.
Oh, well.
But you know, I can read my my New American Standard Bible, and I don't get a lot better in the New American Standard Bible. And, you know, it says the New American Standard Bible has been produced with the convention that the words of Scripture, as originally penned in the Hebrew and Greek, were inspired by God. Since they are the eternal Word of God, by the way, penned in Greek.
Penned in Greek, you know, God's
Word. It's inspired by God, penned in Greek. I didn't know God spoke Greek. I know I've ever communicated in Greek. I don't have a word from him in Greek. We're the eternal Word of God. The Holy Scriptures speak with fresh power to each generation to give wisdom that leads to salvation, and men may serve God and the glory of Christ. The editorial board has a twofold purpose in making this translation: to adhere as closely as possible to the original language of the Holy Scriptures, to make the translations in a fluent and readable style according to current English usage. So this is supposed to be as close as possible. And it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Where in the hell in the original Hebrew does it say the Lord?
Nowhere.
And where does it say I shall not want? Which would be stupid. And Lord and shepherd are an oxymoron. And why does it say, he makes me lie down in green pastures, when the word green wasn't used? And there is no making here. There is enabling. I mean...
What can you say? I mean, you just...
The boss above, he took care of me.
He do take care of me.
From the Jesus book. A song of Dode. Yahweh is my shepherd. I shall not be diminished. In an abode conducive to growing, to sprouting out and shooting forth.
Creeping,
Yeah. He enables me to stretch out and recline appropriately sheltered after exerting myself above the Almighty's waters, calm and composed. He leads me to the light. My soul he restores and returns. Shub.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to guide me when I trust him with accurate, upright, vindicating teaching throughout life on account of his personal and proper name. Now, why don't we, since we've gone through the beginning of this one, I'm going to read to you from the New American Standard Bible as we get to 2, 3, and 4, and you tell me how much correlation we have with what I just shared with you.
Okay.
It says, he leads me beside quiet waters.
No.
No.
Incorrect. No.
No.
Flowing water.
Yeah. And the flowing waters are actually light.
Mm-hmm. Light, yes.
And he says, he restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Well, there's parts of that that are accurate. Except they changed his name with the Lord. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it really and accurately says, starting with 3, my soul he restores and returns. He wants to guide me when I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
With accurate, upright, and vindicating tzedakah teaching throughout life on account of his personal and proper name. Well, the parts they left out are pretty important.
Yeah.
All right, first of all, let's just make the transition here. He was talking in the previous passage, Kirk, about an abode which was conducive to growing and to a fittingly beautiful place that was... enabled us to experience vigorous health, abundant prosperity, tremendous new growth, total freedom, and complete satisfaction with a stalwart attitude.
Right.
He enables me to stretch out and recline after exerting myself, rabas. This is the concept of doing a lot of things and then coming back after you have done them to reflect upon them.
6 + 1, same all the way through.
Right. So there's nothing here about still.
No.
No. Above the Almighty's waters. This is all means above.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean near. There's Hebrew words for near, next to. No, it's above the Almighty's
Praise.
Waters.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. All as in above the Almighty's is mm-hmm. in this case. Ain Lamed. Remember, this began with Ra'ah designating the nature of Dode Shepherd.
Right. Mm-hmm. I have the eye watching it over in the
right.
Staff, of course.
Right. And so, Almighty here, above the Almighty is Ain Lamed. So it is the eye and the shepherd staff. It's again reflecting on the observant shepherd.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And he, by the way, the observant shepherd, where it's all Almighty here, is the Ra'ah shepherd, is Yahweh. Because he said, Yahweh is Ra'ah, the observant shepherd, and this is the I and the Lamed speaking specifically of Almighty God.
Right. He was just repeating, yes.
Yeah, from a slightly different word.
A second word.
Right. Same exact thing. Calm and composed,
right.
He leads me to the light. So rather than being left to still waters, he guides me to the light. And we know that because the word is na'al. He guides me towards the goal of enlightenment and of being unburdened with great care.
Right.
He brings me to a place where I am revived and cared for with nourishing food and refreshing water after a long journey. Na'al is associated with Na'ir, the Almighty's light, and Na'ar, a stream of radiant light where one's burdens are lifted, flowing away.
Mm-hmm. And,
wow.
Right, right. So yeah, we hit on all cylinders on that one. Yeah,
you really do. I mean, it's the light which is flowing,
right?
Not waters which are still and stagnant.
That's correct.
It's light which is flowing, and this light is not only the light of enlightenment, and he's going to talk about being taught in the next statement. So he's talking, therefore he's amplifying the concept of light enlightens. But he's also going to talk about his soul being restored, which means it has to be unburdened. It has to have his faults removed. And yet this word, Na'al, speaks of removing burdens and lightening our load so that we not only don't have any burdens, but we get to go explore the universe without any provisions. We don't. All of the provisions are given to us not to carry, just to be empowered by.
And I also found a continuing inheritance. So it's ongoing, this ongoing thing, once again, like the river that's flowing or the light that's flowing.
Mm-hmm. And you're getting continuing inheritance from Na'al because all of the Na'al-related words, including Na'al itself, begins with a child with an inheritance, the sperm.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it's a child with inheritance that grows up.
Right.
Stands up.
Stands up. Right.
Right. Hey. So this is a child with an inheritance that stands up as an adult, grows.
And
they grow based upon the Lamed,
mm-hmm.
the shepherd.
God is always there, sure.
Wow. So NHL, he leads me to the light, is a child born with an inheritance, standing up and growing when led by the shepherd. Who is Yahweh?
Pretty powerful image.
Pretty darn powerful image. And so now he's going to explain that nature of Hebrew poetry. I'm going to say the same thing because I want to make sure you make the connections and learn. My nephesh, my soul, he restores and returns. Was there a Christian New Testament at this time? Was there a gospel of grace?
I'm afraid not. Lucky them, huh?
So how is it possible that his soul was restored without those things, if those things replaced the Torah? The Hebrew word for soul is nephesh.
Nephesh.
Have you ever looked it up in the original alphabet, Kirk?
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's a nun, pe, and chet or chet, depending on the pronunciation of what era.
It's usually the shin, the sh sound. But I mean, it can be written a number of different ways. But the first two letters are always the same. The nun and the pe, and often the shin. So nephesh.
Mm-hmm.
So is the n the child born with an inheritance? So your soul starts off as a child, born with an inheritance that you either accept or reject, based upon your response to the pay, which is the pay.
Mm-hmm. That's the word, mouth, speak.
Mm-hmm. Right. As is shin, too, right?
Mm-hmm. That was at the teeth, once again. Nourishing language.
Right. So,
words.
Uh-huh. Right, right. You know, and again, you know, the Hebrew word for soul is also the Hebrew word for breath. You know, your breath comes out of your mouth when you're alive. You breathe. That's why people check to see if you're breathing. They have no idea what a soul is other than you stop breathing when it's no longer there.
Mm-hmm.
And so the mouth helps to define this child born with an inheritance, this aspect of it, which is their breath, which is their soul. And it's, you've got a double reinforcement of the nourishing words.
Mm-hmm.
So the inheritance comes from nourishing words
mm-hmm.
for the child that is born. So our consciousness, our life, our ability to observe and respond, our persona and inner nature, it's the only thing that Yahweh tells us that we should care deeply about.
Right. He
never tells us that we should. He never tells us we should really care about our bodies because we only get one of them.
Yeah.
Does he?
Well, Terry always starts out everything that way. You know, really, she's most emphatic about the only thing I've got important to take care of is my soul. So this is why all this is so important.
Right. Yeah. Taking care of your body is hugely less important because it is definitely going to go the way of the dodo bird.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no hope whatsoever for your physical body. It's going to deteriorate and be gone.
And
it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Right. Revived and it's no. Mm-mm. No, not going to be reconstructed. It doesn't matter if you're cremated, if you're buried, if you are in a horrible accident, or if you're mummified.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is useless.
Don't worry.
So it's your soul you ought to pay attention to. That's unique to you. They are like snowflakes in the sense that they are frail, and yet they are unique.
Mm-hmm.
Each one slightly different than all others.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is your emotional mindset as well. I mean, your affections,
mm-hmm.
all that makes up yada is in his nephesh.
Yes, correct. Yeah, my emotional responses, my affectionate responses, my consciousness, my life, my ability to be observant, my perspective.
Mm-hmm.
How I respond, my very essence, my personality, my passions, my way of thinking are all part of my nephesh. So my nephesh, he restores and returns. Now that would destroy Pauline doctrine for anybody that was informed and rational.
Well, you almost have to say that if you allow yourself to apply a little logic to these things, you not only do you just think of these translations as horrible. I mean, at some point they just become horrible.
I mean,
they're worse than just incorrect. They're horrible. They've missed the mark. I mean, you just so much so that it's a criminal.
Yeah. But even in the English, if it says my soul, he restores, or he restores my soul, to put it in the other way around.
Hmm.
You know, in Hebrew, it's soul of mine. He restores. He returns. And by the way, the shub, which does mean to restore,
mm-hmm.
its primary meaning is actually to return.
Mm-hmm.
So my soul, he returns.
Yeah,
my soul, he restores. In Hebrew, even in English, you know, like the New American Standard Bible, he restores my soul. So there's no, although it's incomplete because it's
well,
restores,
I mean,
and returns.
It's still a shade off. I mean, why not go the whole mile?
Yeah, but so it's inadequate, but it's still there. And if you were a Christian and you were informed about what Paul said that the Torah cannot save, and then you read this, even in an English translation, he restores my soul, then you would have a conflict.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just an absolute conflict. All Dode had was the Torah. He had nothing more than the Torah. And yet, he's saying that Yahweh restored his soul via the Torah, which means that Paul lied.
Mm-hmm.
Only does the statement, my soul, he restores and returns, completely contradict Pauline Christianity. It means that the basis of Pauline Christianity, which is that the Torah has been annulled and replaced by Paul's gospel of grace, is wrong. And when he wrote early on in Galatians that the Torah cannot save, these inspired words from Dode, David, regarding Yahweh say exactly the opposite. My soul, he restores and returns. Now, Shub, S-H-W-B-F-B.
Right.
He restores and returns. What do the letters say?
Well, you know, let me go back one sec. The root word, of course, is with the shin and the bet. So it just simply means to turn away from and turn towards, and then you have that great big letter at the end as a home. So
right.
To me, it's to turn away and go home, you know, back to the
right.
So when you
exactly.
get the full show and you add the wa in the middle, then, of course, you're talking about increasing the family home. What I had written down was to turn back to a previous state or return to one's place of residence, which is the ultimate mm-hmm. goal, to come back to Eden with Yah, you know, and be with him as your family. So
exactly. In fact, I didn't even think of the connotation with Eden, but the conditions experienced in Eden is exactly what we're going to experience in eternity. Mm-hmm. The conditions right. expressed in Eden are what we're going to experience during the 1,000-year celebration of year 6,000 right. through 7,000 Yah in the fulfillment of the Moed Mikra of Sukkah.
Yeah, I know it's far greater than that, but I mean, it's just as symbolically. I mean, there we are. Yeah. Everything's perfect with Yahweh.
Right. His soul is going to return home. So I mean, that's the biggest part of the meaning isn't actually restored; it's the change in direction that brings him home.
Right.
And the Bayeth affirms that his return is to home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a home that is secure, a home that has been enlarged, a home that is empowering all through the law, and it's a home based upon nurturing words, shub,
right.
The SH sound. So it means he turns around, he turns me around, and brings me back home.
Mm-hmm.
He changes me to a preferable state. He accepts the previously estranged. So it's so much more than to restore. I mean, for example, the primary word for restore in Hebrew isn't shub. It's kadosh. Kadosh is to restore, to renew. Kadosh is used as many times in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms as shub. Shub means to return. And kadosh means to restore. And so he didn't use kadosh, he used shub.
Yeah.
So if you ignore, shub can convey restore, if you don't communicate that its primary meaning is to return home, you've missed why Dode selected it.
Mm-hmm.
You're not translating its meaning anymore. You're altering its meaning. You're hiding its meaning. You're only conveying a tiny part of its meaning. I mean, what this says, Kirk, is that if you want to live forever, if you never want to be diminished, then you've got to come home.
Yeah.
Yahweh only has one home. It's the covenant, Bayreth, based upon the Hebrew word for a home and family, Bayeth.
If that's not so, then every prophet and throughout his word as a liar, because
correct.
He can't change. And if all of those guys got there that way, why would I trust somebody else another
right.
way?
Right.
I mean, this is just.
Right. Yahweh has said here through Dode that if you want your soul to be restored, come back home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, come back home. He said, you know, that you need to walk away in the covenant from your father's house, so it ain't coming back home to dad in the sense of your earthly dad.
No.
It's coming back home to the covenant. Coming back home to what was experienced between Adam and Yahweh. What was experienced between Abraham and Yahweh. What was experienced by Moshe and Yahweh. What was experienced by Dode and Yahweh. What was experienced between Yahweh and Yahusha, the diminished manifestation of Yahweh. Coming back home. I mean, he even said, I have not yet gone to the Father. Don't touch me. It's all about coming back home. What, after all, the third step along the way, you got Pesach and Matzah. What is the name in Hebrew of the third step of the way home? It's Bukurim.
Oh, Bukurim, okay.
What does Bukurim mean?
Go ahead.
Firstborn children.
Oh, you mean the firstborn? My brain went left when you went right. Yes.
I'm sorry. I was talking about the Moed Mikra. I know now. Yeah, you know all this.
I'm a little slow.
I was making a connection between the Moed Mikra, the path that Yahweh has provided to His home. The third step of the way is Bukurim. It means firstborn children.
Yeah, you've got to be alive and you got to be perfect, and now you can go home.
Yeah, okay. Right. But the only way for you to, in the previous statement, he said he leads me to the flowing light.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the flowing light is he leads me to light, which is what I will be when I am restored, when I return home.
Because
we become
already,
like light.
And you've already established earlier that, you know, it's not a stagnant state. It's not just being restored back to where I was. I want to grow. I want to increase.
Oh, man. Can you imagine being restored to what you were at your infancy? Do you want to be a dependent little baby who poops and burps and utters cuckoo sounds?
Well, even restored to my prime wasn't that hot.
No. Okay. Okay. Maybe I went back too far. Yeah. No. I know what I was at my prime, and it wasn't what I want. In fact, there is no point that you could restore me in terms of what I know that would be better than where I am now.
That's right.
I'm certain the same thing is true with Dode. He continued to grow, just as we're continuing to grow. There is no mental restoration. There's no physical restoration that is preferable here. You know, the restoration is regarding his soul, not his body. This is not talking about being resurrected bodily. Not going to happen.
Mm-mm.
Didn't happen.
Well, his soul. He's all about his soul. He ain't talking about anything else.
Turns it around. Changes it from being estranged to being part of the family. Returns home. Yahweh has one path. It leads home. He has one home. It's the covenant. So my soul is restored when I return home. When I turn around and come home. And then it says, you know, what's really interesting here is the next saying, he guides me in the paths of righteousness. Well, the way that his soul is returned home is by Yahweh's guidance. Are you aware of a book that Yahweh called guidance?
I think it's Torah.
Yeah, Torah means guidance.
Mm-hmm.
Did Dode have access to Paul's letters?
No, missed on that.
So all Dode didn't even have access to the prophets, did he?
No.
So all he had was the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he guides me, he Torahs me when I trust him.
Yeah.
Wow. He Torahs me, he guides me when I trust him. So in the Torah, is there any guidance presented in the Torah relative to a path?
Absolutely.
Pesach, Matzah, Bekudim, Shavuah, Teruah,
mm-hmm.
Kippurim, Sukkah. That's the only path that's ever presented in the Torah, isn't it? Is there any other path presented in the Torah? Maybe I'm missing something here, but
not
that appears to be the only path.
Not a single one.
Right. And there is it's not a path, but there's a direction that's presented before that path is presented. And that direction is walk away from all earthly entanglements. Walk away from your country, from patriotism, from militarism. Walk away from Babel, which is the confusion of nationalism and of religion. Walk away from your father's home and then walk to the place that I'm promising. That's a direction.
Mm-hmm.
And then he established a specific path that enables that, that begins with the doorway of Passover and ends with Sukkah camping out with him in his home. So, he wants to guide me when I trust him. This is nuach. Nuach. Are you familiar with a Hebrew word that is ruach? Ever heard the Hebrew word noun ruach?
Ruach Kodesh, to separate.
Set apart spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So the spirit of Yahweh is the Ruach. Do you think there maybe is a connection between Ruach and Nuach?
Yeah, well, a guide. You know, when you trust him, I can.
Yeah, and in this case, the only difference between Ruach and Nuach is rather than the observant head in Ruach, you have the child born with an inheritance mm-hmm. as the first letter, Nuach.
First of the Nuach, the Nun, yes.
Yeah, because he's guiding me when I trust him.
Mm-hmm.
It is his will to settle me spiritually by leading me reliably with his words, creating an opportunity for a favorable state where good things will occur when I depend upon him. It's from Ruach, spirit. Nuach, which is to speak, in anticipation of a welcoming event. And naka, which is to depend and to trust, leaning on someone who is reliable. Now, just as in Shub, and I didn't share this, Shub was written in the Peel Imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
The Peel Imperfect means that his soul, when he says his soul, he restores and returns.
Mm-hmm.
The Peel Imperfect means that Yahweh is acting on behalf of Dod and enabling this transformation. And he is stating that the restoration and the return is forever. He is eternally home. Now, in the case of Nuach, he guides me when I trust him.
Right.
This time it was written in the Hiphel stem. Now, in the Hiphel stem, it's a relational construct between the subject and the object.
Mm-hmm. He's doing the work.
So, right.
Yeah.
So the subject here is God.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the Hiphel stem, the subject is guiding the object, Dod.
And, okay.
Right, and thereby not only showing him the most desirable way which he can rely, but also facilitating his progress by leading him every step of the way. Well, that's a really interesting picture of God that is conveyed by the stem that was wholly ignored in English translations.
Very father-like, huh?
Yeah, this very father-like. He wants to guide me when I trust him. And the Hiphel stem means that he is not only providing that guidance, but with him every step of the way. Once again, we benefit if we consider why words were chosen. There are many words in Hebrew that can convey guidance, can convey trust, can convey a spiritual nature of the guidance and of the witness that is being depended upon. And Nuach is seldom the word to convey guidance. So it has some implications here that were important, and it was specifically selected for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it was simply, he teaches me, he leads me, he instructs me, he guides me, it would be Torah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not Torah in this case. It's Nuach.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's important to convey the spiritual aspect of that enlightenment. Because he says he leads me to the light, he's restoring me. There's a spiritual component of that that he wants to communicate. And while Yahweh's Torah guidance is trustworthy, he wanted to convey here in the word itself that this enlightening leadership is dependable.
Right.
And that it's spiritual. That's why he chose Nuach.
Yeah.
And to throw all that away and just leave it at he leads.
Yeah, big deal.
You've lost 90% of the guidance.
Yeah.
And by the way, this was written in the imperfect. So the imperfect means that this the guidance and its dependability is valid until the such time as Paul comes around and negates it and changes it. No. If it were ever going to have a terminus date, no matter how far in the future that might be, in the case of Pauline Christianity 1,000 years from Dod, it would have to have been written in the perfect. But it wasn't. It was written in the imperfect, which means it's never ending and always dependable. Now, the next word is Tzedakah. Tzedakah is the word that's in direct conflict with Pauline Christianity. You know, Paul says that the Torah cannot make righteous. Tzedakah is the Hebrew word for righteousness. And Dod David here is saying that Yahweh guides me when I trust him with righteous teaching, with vindicating teaching, with upright teaching, with accurate teaching. Tzedakah means to be upright, to be correct, to be straightforward, and to be just, to proclaim innocent, to be fair, to be prosperous, to be righteous, and to be proven. Tzedakah's a really, really powerful word.
Also means to walk the straight path, by the way.
Yeah.
Oats mean.
Is a Sadak person ever on their knees?
No. You can't walk on your knees.
No. Can't be upright.
No.
If you're Sadak. I mean, you can't be down on your knees, can't be bowed down to be Sadak. It means to be upright. And what Dode is saying here is that Yana was teaching is straightforward. It's not convoluted. It's just straightforward. This walk that he walked to be returned to Yana's home was straightforward. He walked upright in a straightforward manner.
Right.
Didn't waver from side to side. It wasn't circuitous. It didn't require any nods and winks and secret decoder rings and relying on doctrine from religious individuals or somebody else's interpretation. It was just straightforward, valid, provable, prosperous teaching, vindicating, upright. So that's how Yahweh guides. By the way, the word for guides when I trust him, he wants to guide me. I forgot to mention this. There's a reason why I put in he wants, because Nuach was written with a in a mood. It was written in a Jusuf mood. It's the first of these verbs in the 23rd Psalm to express a mood, and so you need to convey it. I mean, thus far there's only been one verb that conveyed a mood. It was the Jusuf. The Jusuf is an expression of volition in the third person. Well, third person, Dode is speaking of himself. That's first person. And he's referring to Yahweh as he. That's third person. So it's expressing third person volition. So who do you apply the volition to?
Yeah, Yahweh's desire.
Right. So it's Yahweh's will, his desire. It's what he wants. He wants to guide those who trust him with accurate, upright, and vindicating teaching throughout life.
Yeah.
When we return to this, Kirk, tomorrow, we're going to consider Magal and why Magal is not the primary Hebrew word for path and why it really means teaching throughout life and how important that is to this psalm and understanding.